This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in April of the year 2014. It's being put on audio in the month of September of the year 2024. So that's over 10 years ago. The difference between when it was published and when it is being put on audio. And the reason why I'm giving you the dates is because when I'm reading the message, there may be mentioning some people, places, events, or things that were relevant at that particular time, which may or may not be relevant today. And if that is the case, I will try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes to the Word of God, His Word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Now, our subject scripture for this message is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 5. And we're going to read two verses, verse number 14 and verse number 18. And as I said, this is for April of the year 2014. Now, if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. Jesus is speaking, and He is saying, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse number 18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." The title for this message is, "It's the Church's Fault." Take a look around you. What do you see? Depending on exactly where you live, it could be anything from peace and happiness to total despair. Now, for far too many of us in this nation, what is or was billed as the American dream has turned out to be anything but. It wasn't too long ago that the idea of people having a good job, being able to own their own home, having one or two cars in their driveway, being able to go on vacations, and being surrounded by a community that was, for the most part, free of serious crime was a reality. The idea of shootings, rapes, robberies, murders, and such were far removed from our minds because they didn't occur quite as much or quite as to be considered that big of a threat. When serious crime did occur within a community, it was usually dealt with swiftly by that community as a sign that told those that have evil intentions to don't even think about it. That community had a strong positive value that garnered respect for family values and each other. I can remember a time, even though we were not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, when neighbors would watch out for each other to the point where a person could leave their house unlocked while at home or away, and no one would dare enter into it without permission because of vigilant neighbors. I can remember a time when children in the neighborhood were very well behaved because of the ever-present eyes of neighbors were so close to their parents that if caught doing something wrong, they would chastise and even spank them, then tell their parents, and the parents would thank them, the neighbors, and would essentially punish them, their kids, even more. I can remember a time when in school, if a child cut up, they most likely got paddled or whacked on the hand with a ruler by the teacher or principal at the school, then given a note to give to their parents that had to be signed and returned the next day explaining what they had done, which in many instances garnered them another spanking at home. A child wouldn't even think about not giving that note to their parents for fear of what would happen to them if they didn't. In these and other cases, the strength of the community was the church. It was this institution that set the standard and foundation by which the community functioned and thrived no matter what the economic condition was. Yes, even though wealth is nice, it does not define what is a thriving community. As many can attest to, there are communities where wealth actually brings about contempt and envy amongst them, leading to problems. And once again, those communities where these things are absent usually have at their foundation those values that are promoted by the church. If one would seriously look at the overall importance of this institution and it just exactly what the American dream is supposed to be, they would come away with the conclusion that a strong church leads to strong families, which leads to a strong neighborhood. And strong neighborhoods lead to strong communities, and so on up to an entire nation. It can be said, and the Bible bears this out in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, that any nation that applies the principles that are promoted in it, talking about the Bible, or in faith in God through Christ and his teachings, would have God's blessing on everyone and thing they set about to do. Jesus said in our first subject verse that the church is the light of the world, a city that is set above all others, so much so that it can't be hid. What this means is, it is there for all to see, good or bad. When people are looking for guidance, they will usually look to those that stand out above the rest. And since the church is supposed to be God's representative here on earth, then the actions of the people are influenced by the church. Jesus went on to say in verses 15 and 16 that those that name the name of Christ should be on their best behavior, so that the people will seek to emulate them, so that they can obtain the blessings that God has made available to all those that have put their total faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The best source of influence to come to Christ for the ungodly is the actions of those that claim to be following him. The Bible says that all Christians are viewed as living epistles or letters, as found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2, that are being read of all men. This means there is always someone watching us at all times when we least expect it, and based on what they see in us, they will either be drawn to Christ or driven away from him. As I mentioned, the Bible lets us know beyond a doubt that if we follow Christ the way Christ says for us to follow him, then we will be blessed above all others. Therefore, it's a no-brainer that the church is the key to all the blessings we as individuals, neighborhoods, communities, and the nation for that matter experience daily. After all, if I saw someone who seemed to have it all together and succeeded in everything they put their hands to, I would most certainly want to get their secrets so that I could be like them. That is just the natural way to success. Hanging around successful people is the best way to become successful. And the church should be the most successful group of individuals in the nation because God has our backs, and as such, we can't fail. Well, with that being the case, then we can deduce that anything that is happening around us that brings about pain, suffering, and despair has to have some connection to the church as well. If you review what I just stated in the first part of this message and reverse all the positives to negatives, then by the same token, for the church being the foundation of everything that is right in the neighborhood and community, it is this same institution that is the foundation for everything that is wrong in our communities and this nation. How can this be, you ask? It's because the church's strength is Christ's support for what it is doing. And the only way it can have that support is if it is abiding by God's commandments. Well, if a church begins to stray away from those principles for whatever reason, then Christ stops supporting them. And when that happens, it becomes vulnerable to the dictates of the ungodly because it has no strength or vision as to how to proceed in this demonic world. And as a result, it will become a victim to the evil of this world, just like the unsaved. And since it is above everyone else for all to see, the ungodly then take their cues from it and begin to unashamedly follow their own way because they have no hope or vision as to what the benefit of following Christ can be. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Looking at the first part of this scripture, it is saying that individuals, families, groups, and nations need something to look forward to in order for them to thrive. Without it, they will collapse and fall apart. The church is responsible for providing that vision as Christ has directed it to do. But it can't do that if it is disconnected from him, because of its failure to abide by the standards that Christ has set. Holiness and sanctification on the part of leaders has been replaced with compromise, political correctness, and outright apathy. Anything goes. Leaders, talking about pastors and bishops, can be shacking up, practicing homosexuals and lesbians, showing contempt for those that are trying to live in righteousness and speak out about their wrongdoing. Instead of following God's word, they align themselves with the word of psychiatrists, psychologists, and sociologists, who I call the new gods. The idea of living righteously is looked at as being an extreme view of life which no one can attain. Just be yourself, they say. Some even go so far as to say you can't be happy when you are trying to be something that you are not. The implication is God made you the way you are, and to try to change yourself is trying to improve on what He created you to be. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 27 through 32, it makes it clear that we should not give consideration to or compromise with the devil. Yet this is what many of these leaders are doing and even encouraging others to do. There is no way that we as Christians should be compromising with the devil. Yet most of us do it every day because of what our church leaders are doing. And as a result, all of us are suffering. Earlier, I referred you to read Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 14, so you could see the vision God has given to those that are willing to follow His direction. Now, read verses 15 through to the end and see the consequence of not following or going against His direction. If you have access to the Living Amplified New International Version or the New King James Versions of the Bible, you will get a clearer picture of what God is saying in this passage. Compare what those verses say to the reality of what is going on in this nation. What you will find is that they line up perfectly. Look, God is not being mean when He says, if you don't do what I say, then you will suffer. It is all part of the system in which we live. While many would like to believe that, as I mentioned last month, He will just overlook our faults without us making the effort to change, that is not the case at all. Let me give you two examples. Electricity is something that all of us use daily, and as such, we have come to be dependent on it. It is our friend. Yet, part of the properties of our friend is the automatic response it gives us when we violate the safety standards that we have been warned about. Let's also look at gravity. Once again, we all know about it and its importance to us. Yet at the same time, we are aware of the consequences of violating particular safety warnings and formulas that, if violated, would end up in our deaths. Planes are able to fly because their design is in response to the laws of gravity. These laws have been here since the earth was created and will be here until God says different. The thing is, each of these dangerous properties are inherent in the world system, and not that they are evil. Consequently, with God, it is the very same way. The pain and suffering that goes along with our disobedience to Him are inherent in creation. They are automatic, and they can't be changed no matter how much we try to change them. Psalms 119, verse number 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It is God's plan, and all things work according to His design. Our attempts to change or render the consequences of our wickedness to a place where we no longer have to suffer is the ultimate example of futility. This is because they will only lead us to greater suffering, which again is part of the natural order of things, the way God designed them. Proverbs 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Have you ever noticed that no matter how hard they try, politicians can't seem to fix the problems we are facing in this nation? The minute they come up with a plan and implement it, it appears to work for a minute, then something else comes up and makes things worse. Why is this? They are not operating within the confines of God's direction or path that He has designed for them. All of what I have been saying comes straight from the Bible, the same Bible that our church leaders are supposed to use as a roadmap to righteousness and blessing. Yet they aren't doing it, and we are paying the price. Mind you now, this is not all of them, but most of them. If the people keep looking for ways to avoid the consequences of disobedience or sin, and the church gives them the idea that their suffering is something other than the result of that disobedience, then the people will continue in their ways, which will lead to their destruction. Everything, blessing and cursing, rests with the church. Well, that is the end of our message for this month, and I hope that you have begun to see one of the main reasons why we are in the mess that we find ourselves in today. It all stems from a failure of the one institution that God has put here to keep us from having to suffer all of these things, and that is the church. But the church can only do what the preacher directs it to do. If the preacher is not doing his job, then it's obvious those that come into the church to get a word from the Lord end up getting a word from, guess who? The preacher, who is getting his direction not from God, but essentially from the devil. And you know the devil has no good intentions for anybody. He wants to see all of mankind destroyed, and he will do whatever he can to get the job done. And the most influential institution that most people look to for guidance is the church, and consequently, that's where the problem lies. So the church can be a blessing, or the church can be a curse. But that is essentially where the crux of our problems lie. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message, and I'd like to say to you and your families, may God bless you real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.